Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News. It's a Wednesday, October 12th. Oh, look who's here. The doctor herself, Kristen Lyerly from Green Bay. How are ya?
I'm so good. How are you, Classic Pat?
Classic Pat. Let's, for the 99.99% of you who aren't on Twitter, Kristen teased the show, teased her appearance in the 9 o'clock hour, her and Kirk in the 10 o'clock hour, and said the 8 o'clock hour would be, all it said was, Classic Pat, to which I had to respond online, what the hell is Classic Pat? And, you know, I guess we're just going to find out together, aren't we?
And then Luke responded, Classic Pat, asking about Classic Pat. It's like looking in a mirror with a mirror behind you, that whole thing. You know what I'm talking about?
That Luke, I tell you. You have been quite the traveler lately. You've been, you know, busting your butt on behalf of candidates and issues. Last week, we talked about you taking part in a forum at the White House on reproductive health care rights. You're just continuing to travel hither and yon, aren't you?
Well, there's so much at stake right now. Mm-hmm. And I, as an OBGYN, who is, so many doctors are not comfortable speaking out, right? Because the things that we deal with are so personal and we're not trained in how to talk with media. And it makes us feel uncomfortable. You know, we're afraid to say the wrong thing or to disclose something that we're not supposed to say. Mm-hmm. But I feel pretty comfortable doing that. And so I think it's really necessary for me to be able to translate the voices of my patients and of the people that I talk to so people understand what's at stake right now. With this 1849 abortion ban, it's not really about abortion. It's about your ability to make decisions about your own health care within the context of your own life.
And here's the extra, element that gets thrown into this, something that a lot of us have suspected all along, but has finally been proven true over the last few days with the whole controversy over Herschel Walker paying for and encouraging girlfriends to get abortions in the past. But now he's denying it. So long as he denies it, despite the receipt, despite the get well card and everything else, as long as he denies it, Republicans stick with him, mm-hmm. which just tells you it was never about abortion. It was a useful way to divide, you know, and try to, you know, use fear or religion or what have you. But for two senators, Tom Cotton of Arkansas and Rick Scott of Florida, to show up yesterday in Georgia and campaign on Herschel Walker's behalf, you know, tells you that, you know, it doesn't matter what Herschel Walker did or didn't do or what he said or didn't say. There's an R next to his name. And despite how supremely unqualified he is to be a United States senator, they're going to put their party ahead of their country.
You are entirely right. He is just a placeholder that they know they can manipulate. That's the only reason he's there. And I went to the University of Georgia, and I was there right after Herschel Walker left. He is a legendary football player, as we all know, mm-hmm. but he wouldn't be a good senator. And all of the stuff that is leading up to this election just proves that Republicans will do anything to maintain that seat, regardless of who sits in it.
So we're going to talk with the with some med students coming up about this and what it means for the, you know, the future of Wisconsin healthcare. It's something we've talked about previously, but I think, you know, people need to continue to appreciate what the impact could be. And so before they come on, I just wanted to ask. I mean, do you feel like it doesn't matter what specialty med students these days are going into, that this abortion controversy will play a role in their decision making?
It doesn't matter, because it affects all of us. It doesn't just affect that 1 in 4 women in this country who will have an abortion in our lifetime. First of all, it affects them most profoundly, of course, and their families and their support people. But from a medical student's perspective, they're wondering if we are criminalizing abortion, if we are criminalizing standard of care medicine here in the state of Wisconsin, what's next? And how does that impact my practice as maybe a family medicine doctor who delivers babies in rural Wisconsin, or a pediatrician who's called in to take care of neonates at the time of birth in the state of Wisconsin? Are there friendlier places to practice? And what I learned last week when I was at the White House is that Wisconsin is an example, and it's an example of the worst possible place you could be right now as a physician and as a patient. This is dire, and I can't emphasize it enough, Pat.
And that's where we're trying to convey to folks about voting with the long term in mind, with the long game in mind, because I'm not saying inflation isn't a factor, that isn't bad, but it comes and goes. Crime is an issue that wasn't an issue until a couple of months ago when it was in a bunch of political ads. It comes and goes. Uh-huh. But the long term health of, you know, rural healthcare, or just your healthcare in general in the state, that's something to be more mindful of.
You bet. We've been working on this problem. So this was a problem before COVID. I mean, this has been a problem for a long time. We have a hard time recruiting physicians to come and work here in Wisconsin. So we've developed a bunch of programs through our medical training schools in Milwaukee and in Madison, where we are giving students and residents opportunities to come to less populated, more centers that reflect the type of practice where we need people to be. Understanding that if people have that kind of experience, they're more likely to return to those places. And that's where these medical students are from. They are learning in an area where they will get that kind of experience to keep them here in the state.
All right. More right after this break. You're up north.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I've got a bad case of loving you.
As we come into the Thompson Twins Doctor Doctor on this Wednesday morning, we rejoin Dr. Kristen Lyerly and three students from the Medical College of Wisconsin, a place I'm not unfamiliar with, being married to a class of 91 graduate who's also an OBGYN. So we're going to learn about, was that the ER theme?
Yeah.
Throwing a curveball at me over there.
Come on, sorry. Pat. Your Yakrod credentials are being tested right now.
I've got to speak goodly at the same time that I'm trying to decipher music, Kristen. So yeah.
I got your back.
You come DJ anytime. That would be just fun. But getting back to our guests here, students at the Medical College of Wisconsin in Wauwatosa, Milwaukee suburb, and Kristen has kind of blazed a trail here in interviewing women who are running for office for seats in the legislature. And you've been talking to these women about, you know, they're not running for office, but they too are planning for a future and want to talk about what that future could look like depending on how things go in Wisconsin. Is that kind of what led you to them, Kristen?
Yeah, so we first met because they are in Green Bay. So the medical college has established sites in Green Bay and Wausau to address the rural health crisis and bring students to places outside of Madison and Milwaukee, places where it's harder to recruit doctors. And the goal is to keep people here, people who are connected to these communities, so that they'll stay here and serve here. And what we've done here in Green Bay is we've got a mentorship group that gets together once a month just for social reasons. We go out to a brewery or a restaurant and just spend time together, not talking about medical stuff, although it always ends up being medical stuff, but, you know, just like being together and creating that connection. And through our conversation, Zoe reached out to me and said, I don't like what's happening in the world right now. And this was after Dobbs, I feel really inspired to do something about it. And so we had a conversation and she pulled together this group of advocates, not just the women who are here today, but it's a much larger group. And we met and talked about many different things that we could do. And one place that they felt that they could make a difference was sharing their stories here on your show, Pat.
All right. Well, with that, let's start with Zoe Weller, and then we'll talk to Heather Heyerman and then Emma Ellis. Well, ladies, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it very much. So, Zoe, why don't you just start with where Kristen kind of teed the ball up for you? What was going on? Trust me, I know med students. They're a little busy, and yet you said it's time to carve out some more time to do something more. Why?
Well, and that's exactly it. And thank you for having us here. We really appreciate it. But we are really busy, and we already are trying to study and prepare for our futures. So when this happened, it was really earth-shattering for us, especially those of us who are interested in women's health in any shape or form. So personally, I'm really interested in becoming an OBGYN, and I was on my OBGYN rotation when I was reaching out to Dr. Lyerly, and it was pretty frightening how every single day somebody was impacted by the decision that was made to overturn Roe versus Wade, whether it was ordering a medication to terminate a pregnancy that had been lost, or to even just provide some rationale to somebody about what was going on with their pregnancy. Doctors are afraid right now, quite literally afraid, to say things, to order prescriptions, to perform procedures, to really practice in the way that they were trained, and to provide the care that they feel is safest for their patients. So when I was just seeing that on a daily basis on my 4-week rotation, I was getting a glimpse of the entire life of this practitioner. And so I reached out to Dr. Lyerly just to kind of see if there was anything that we could do as students in training before we end up in the same position as the physician I was working with.
Well, you made a good call, because if there's two things that Kristen can do, it's be a good resource and also take your mind off of, you know, your troubles by deferring it to whatever other. I have a story later about how medical residents try to avoid talking about shop when it's after hours. But since it's a drinking game, I'll get into that later. Heather, let's turn to you. And again, tell us a bit about, you know, what made you decide to invest some extra time in talking about, you know, how current events are affecting your future and perhaps the future of healthcare in Wisconsin.
Yeah, so I have been a huge advocate for women's health. I did my undergraduate research in women's sexual and reproductive health and really came into med school thinking I was going to be an OBGYN. Zoe and I are co-presidents of the OBGYN interest group. And I was actually in my pediatric rotation when Roe v. Wade was overturned and saw the effects that had just in the pediatric world as well. And it was a really hard thing for me to sit through. And one instance in particular is we had a patient that we were seeing, and it was actually a mom. She was like 24, 26 weeks pregnant. And she was diagnosed, her baby was diagnosed with a heart issue that wasn't compatible with life. So baby was still growing inside of her because mom was oxygenating the baby, but the minute baby was born, there was nothing that could have been done. And I saw the effects that not only had on like the mom and then dad that was also there, but all the mom kept talking about was like, how is she going to have to explain this to her multiple other children at home? And like, how is she going to tell her 4-year-old that like mom has a baby in her belly and it's going to be there for 2-3 more months, but like, I'm never going to come home with this baby. And that was kind of like my alarm that I was like, this goes so far beyond just a woman. It reaches so many different people. So it's just like little kids are affected by this, like, you know, grandparents are affected by this. And ultimately, like, that does come back to the woman. But it was a really hard thing for me to decide, like, do I want to continue to go down into a specialty that my hands are tied all the time? Or do I want to go into one that I'm able to do what I've been learning what to do.
And can I say, Heather, that your story illustrates something that we don't think about a lot when we're talking about this binary abortion topic. It's about someone's actual personal history and digging deep into how she feels and how this affects every aspect of her life. And there are some people in this situation who would say, yeah, I want this baby to be with me as long as this baby can be with me. And I understand that the risks of carrying this pregnancy are greater than the risks of terminating the pregnancy early, recognizing that this baby isn't going to survive. But there are other people who would say, I can't live every day going to the grocery store, having people walk up to me visibly pregnant and thinking that this is a joyful pregnancy. So the psychological effects, this isn't just about the physical effects or just about the medical piece. It is about the holistic human being who is trapped in the middle of this complicated situation.
Exactly. It was a really, like, it still, like, affects me to this day and, like, makes me emotional because, you know, because of the situation she was in, it was in a rural area of Wisconsin. She was going to have to deliver in a bigger city, which meant Madison or Milwaukee. And so, again, that meant leaving her kids, you know, for up to 2 weeks because she'd have to go down there before her due date. So it could be delivered down there because she was so high risk. And it's just like so many things that I think a lot of people don't realize. And I'll be the first to admit that I didn't realize until I was in that situation. And she now has to find childcare for her multiple kids at home. So her and her husband can go to a different city hours and hours away to come home with nothing.
Mm-hmm. Heather, thank you. Emma, same question to you about, you know, what made you want to be more vocal about this, especially when I'm sure that you have friends and family who may not necessarily be on the same side of the political aisle as wherever you are. So what have you been talking about? How has it been for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Pat. So when the news broke, obviously I had feelings inside similar to what every person with a uterus felt when this news broke. But the reason that we started reaching out is because as medical students, we had a little bit of a unique perspective. And it's not necessarily the most important perspective, but it is unique. And 44% of OBGYN residency programs, which is where we're headed after medical school, are now in states that have outlawed or are in jeopardy of outlawing abortion. And so our options for after we're graduated from medical school have just virtually been cut in half. And so the uncertainty we feel as med students and the uncertainty Zoe and I feel as med students who want to go into OBGYN is now we're forced to choose between being able to match into a residency program, which is the ideal goal. We all want to get jobs after we graduate medical school. Or do we choose a program that we're more likely to get into but won't give us adequate training? So that's kind of the problem I've been interfacing with, along with all the really, really hard problems of just being a woman in this country right now.
Yeah, just hearing you say that from your perspective as a student and then thinking of it as someone who's already here working in this field and thinking about the residency program and the people that we're going to attract to train here, recognizing that the people who train here are most likely to stay here in the state. So we are going to be releasing a bunch of people to work here who are inadequately trained, who aren't going to be able to take care of people who have these complicated pregnancies. It's just so very frustrating. Zoe, let me turn it back to you because you really have been the person who stepped up and said, we have to organize. What has the response been from your peers? It's unusual for medical students and doctors to feel emboldened enough to do what you guys have done.
Yeah, it was honestly exceeded anything I expected. I just kind of, it was a reach out to my class just saying, hey, anybody that might be interested in doing anything, please just give this message a like. And the amount of feedback I got, the amount of response was pretty incredible. Emma and Heather are here today because they are so passionate and they're representing two out of a big group of people who are like, yeah, I don't know what it's going to look like for me to have a voice in this, but I want to do something. And for us today, it was coming on this show. So we're incredibly grateful to be here. But there are so many other things that we're excited about doing. And we got a big group of people who are thrilled to do it. So
is it the communication and the activity, is it, you know, outwardly political? Is it more educational? You know, who are you targeting? And we'll continue this after the break that's coming up. But you know, how would you characterize, you know, the communications that you're trying to put out there?
I guess for us, it's really it's more so about the education piece and a little bit more of awareness, not really trying to take a political stand as much. I guess that kind of inherently comes with it, unfortunately. For us, it's, you know, this is what is going on. These are the stories that we've experienced as medical students. And here's what we think could make a difference from what we know right now.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that that's something that I'd like to talk a little bit more about when we come back from the break, is how inherently political this all is, but not for us. For us, this is just about taking care of our patients and wanting to make sure that we have the training and the resources and the access to be able to provide excellent care. So,
and that's just Pat. It. Some of us want to be involved in politics on an everyday matter. Some people get dragged into it, and it's really unfortunate because it's often unfairly so. So we'll explore more of that when we come back from this break with our students from the Medical College of Wisconsin. You're up north.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Dreaming, yeah. Coming up in our next hour, Kirk Bankstead of the Minocqua Brewing Company, a super PAC, and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. Right now, we are talking with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, Heather Hireman, Zoe Weller, and Emma Ellis, three students from the Medical College of Wisconsin in Green Bay. And Kristen, as we get back into this, I think that the angle we're coming at is when we saw the Kansas referendum go down in flames, it meant a whole lot of Republican women or Republican-leaning women said, this isn't about politics anymore. This is about privacy. This is about, you know, this is why I'm getting involved and voting this way. And now what we're seeing here are physicians or physicians in training coming at it from the same standpoint of, I didn't want to get involved in something political, but now you're affecting my privacy, my relationships with my patients.
For the longest time, Republicans have used abortion as that issue, that political issue that brought people to the polls. But now I think we're at the point, and we're exhausted. Like, we are so tired of this partisanship, and nowhere in this country is there more partisanship than here in Wisconsin. And nowhere are we more exhausted by this than here in Wisconsin. And that's what brings us all together as physicians, as medical students who just want to take care of our patients. We've got to push aside that partisanship, but it's really hard because abortion is, as Zoe said earlier, inherently a political issue right now in this country. And I know for you all, you come from some different backgrounds and you have family members and communities that might not feel the same as you do. So I guess I would go to Heather. What are you seeing in your personal life from the people who raised you and supported you? How does this fit into the other part of your life?
It's been difficult. I mean, I think between now Roe v. Wade and then COVID before that, like, I come from a very conservative background. And then here I am in medicine being like, no, there's actually COVID in the hospital. Like, it's real. And I got my COVID vaccine. And then now I'm very outspoken about, like, abortion and women's health access. Honestly, I do get a lot of backlash in my personal life from especially family that they're more open to saying things to me. So it is definitely difficult sometimes to have that backlash all the time. And I feel frustrated because I'm like, I just want to do what is best for patients in the future. Like, I want what's best for my patients today, tomorrow, and every day going forward. And I know that's kind of just how medicine is right now. Like we said, it's becoming political, and I never thought I would become a very politically outspoken person, but it's like my hands are so tied, I don't know what else to do.
How about you, Emma?
Yeah, so I feel very fortunate that my immediate family is very supportive and we all share very similar values. They are fighting this fight with me right along the way. But some other people in my life, extended family, friends, it's been really difficult for me too. And for me, when I'm not comfortable having those conversations or causing, say, a controversial conversation at a certain time, I kind of just resort to not bringing up the topic and kind of hiding back and saying, well, this isn't something I'm going to address right now. And that's very, very disheartening. It is unempowering. But it's kind of what we're forced to do in order to have effective conversations and make effective change down the line. Abortion is not political. Abortion is healthcare. And we as future healthcare providers, no one should be surprised by the fact that we stand by evidence-based medicine and healthcare. So it's hard because it's so controversial, but it's just healthcare.
Zoe, can I ask it from a slightly different perspective rather than, you know, family, maybe close friends and such? Unlike, you know, us old fogies, we didn't have social media back then. So not only are you dealing with personal relationships, but now you have networks on social media where people can make comments and, you know, say whatever they want to say. Has that had a noticeable effect on you and other colleagues about having to put up with traffic that you can't possibly keep up with, say, all the myths and misinformation out there?
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm kind of a funny person to ask. I'm not super active on social media, but honestly, kind of for that reason. But in these times, I've been I've been paying more attention. And I can already think of a few instances where I've seen things on Facebook. And I just think to myself, who made this, first of all? And second of all, how did it get this far? Because you'll see something that has just thousands and thousands of likes and shares, and it's just completely false information. It could be about COVID. It could be about what's going on with abortion. It doesn't really matter. As soon as it starts to get traction, forget about it. It's just going to keep spreading and spreading. So seeing that and wishing that I could do more, I have commented a couple times and tried to get rid of some false information. But unfortunately, it kind of just gets lost in the other comments that just keep coming and coming. So with that happening and with attraction, some of these false information posts are getting, it's really hard to try to dispel some of those mysteries that are being spread around. So that's something that I've actually been thinking about a lot about, how to combat that. I don't know if it's, you know, coming at it with a truth-filled post or what, but
How about we just put you all in t-shirts or something that just has emblazoned across the front, actually, because it seems like we're saying that
right.
So often these days.
Yeah. Right. It's what I want to do. Just like pound it in.
Well, and you guys, since you started medical school, it was in the middle of COVID. And now there's this abortion crisis. So I would be curious to hear, because your training, the time that you've spent in your pursuit of a medical career has been very different than when I trained and I was able to just focus on being a doctor. All of the other stuff happening in the world, all of the political stuff, the social stuff, the misinformation has to affect your perspective about what your career looks like in the future. So, Heather, how has it changed what you thought you were going into before you entered medical school and where you're at now?
Yeah. So like I said, I came in like OB-GYN, like I wanted to do women's health. And then when all of this was kind of going on, you know, first COVID and constantly being questioned about that, and then all of this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OB-GYN's hands are so tied. I like was between OB-GYN and peds, and I kind of switched over to peds because I am in the position that I don't want to go through 12 years of training to not be able to do my job, and to have some person that didn't do 12 years of training and is the expert in this tell me how to do my job. And it was a really hard thing and decision for me to make and admit that to myself. But ultimately it was like, I'm still going to fight and I'm still going to do everything I can for women, but I can't go through all of this training and dedicating my life to have someone else tell me what to do.
Well, and let's be honest, as a future pediatrician, this will affect your practice.
Absolutely.
It will affect family medicine profoundly. It'll affect emergency medicine. And ultimately, the doctor shortage is going to affect all of us as physicians and as healthcare consumers as well. So how about you, Emma? How has this changed your perspective on your future as a physician in this state?
Yeah, I came into medical school. I came into high school saying that I was going to be an OBGYN one day. And it was going to take the most cool thing in the entire world to knock me off that train, because I was just absolutely so passionate about women's health, both from a perspective of how interesting and fascinating it is, but also from wanting to have this unique position to help women through some of the most amazing and also some of the hardest moments of their life. And that's what I wanted to do. But since all of this has happened, since Roe has been overturned, at the end of every one of those statements, at the end of every time someone asks me what I want to do, it's a maybe. It's OBGYN, maybe. And so there's so much uncertainty for me, because what else? I have always been so passionate about OBGYN. If not this, then what am I meant to do? This is my calling. So just personally, there's a lot of turmoil, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of not knowing what's going forward. And as a medical student, that's kind of our whole life anyway. So yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
So your answer reminds me that, again, I feel like we were raised in a kinder, gentler period. And Felix, Grandpa has a story here. My wife was inspired to go into medicine by a childhood TV show that none of you heard of, Marcus Welby, MD, starring Robert Young.
And
it was just this gentle, you know, physician practice. And I wonder, Zoe, was there a, you know, a show or a person or something that you looked at once upon a time and said, that's the path I'm hoping to pursue? And now you think, wow, the world is nothing like this thing that inspired me to go into medicine. What do you think, Zoe?
I'm sorry. Do you mean me or Emma?
Yeah, Zoe. Sorry.
So I think for me, I grew up in a household with no physicians. It was just, you know, you can do whatever you want to do. But I think what inspired me the most was I had a lot of things going on personally with my own health. And so I was at the doctor a lot. And so it wasn't really a TV show or something like that for me. It was a real life experience, going to the doctor's office quite a bit, and really connecting with my physician. And we moved around a lot. So it was nice to have something that was pretty constant in a time when things were changing quite a bit. So that's kind of what led me into medicine, specifically women's health.
So what's next as we kind of wind down our time together? Heather, what are you thinking? You've got a lot on your plate as a medical student, but what are you thinking you can do in this time when your voice is so unique and so important? And I know we've talked about this, how like I'm spoiled as a physician, so people think that I have ulterior motives in being really vocal, but you guys are your students and you come to this from such your perspective is so pure. So where are you thinking you can go? Where is that lever for you in the future?
I think it's just continuing to share stories of the experiences that we've had and for me, it's talking about the domino effect that this is having. And this is what I tell all of my friends and family, is it's not just women. It's not just OBGYNs. It's pediatrics. It's emergency. It's their family members. And the list goes on and on and on. And just really telling those stories and having people kind of be like, oh yeah, like there is more than it's more than just abortion. It's so much more than just abortion. So just continuing to share those stories.
Sure. Yeah. Emma, what's next? What do you think are the next steps for you?
For me, it will be advocating as much as I can during my time in medical school with the resources I have, getting connected with amazing women that are my classmates and also physicians in the community. But also it'll just be about hopefully going into OBGYN and using my platform and my voice to make some real good. You know, as scary as this is, as scary as the idea of going into OBGYN is, I think it is the right answer in order to make real change and in order to do what I ultimately want to do and leave the world better than I found it. So it's pursuing forward and continuing to have hope and continuing to fight for this cause.
And Zoe, next steps for you?
We're going to change the world. These two girls, Dr. Mullally, even you, Pat, like this is just the beginning of what we want to do. I don't exactly know what it's going to look like, but we're going to make a big difference.
Our patients need us. Our communities need us. And this is not the time for us to walk away, but it's the time to do exactly what you all are doing. And Pat, what you're doing, organizing, bringing people together, helping people understand that it is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. And Heather, what you were saying earlier about sharing stories, we all have those stories that we can tell. And people want to hear them. They just don't want that frank political perspective. They want to hear it from another human being who is truly invested in the people of this state, the people of our community. So I am so grateful to you all and just so honored to be connected with you and so excited to see where all of you end up in the future.
And I'll tell you, all three of you fit in a situation similar. I know both me and my wife have had these instances where we were the ones thinking, you know, that we're the troublemakers, we're speaking up. And people would, co-workers, colleagues, friends, whatever, would come up afterwards and go, oh, thank you for speaking up. I didn't think I could do it. You did. So thank you so much for all that you're doing. Best of luck to you. Again, Heather Hireman, Zoe Weller, Emma Ellis, great seeing you.
Thank you very much, Pat.
We will wrap up this hour's conversation after this. You're up north. Kristen, did that not give you a little adrenaline shot of hope looking ahead?
I get to spend time with those incredible women and so many more. That's just a small representation of the group of folks who are here training to be doctors in our community. So I get to spend time with them at least once a month. I am a very, very lucky person.
I get reminded all the time, especially being in the news business, that you have to take time to focus on the good that's in the world, that there are good people like those three. And just because other people get more attention, doesn't mean you should give up hope that people can't do better things. So, mm-hmm. No matter how much I have to deal with everything that Luke Mathers throws at me, I know that there are good people like Aaron Zomers in the universe. So we were talking earlier about the politics of polarization, how people just like create division for the sake of it. I have no idea what they're talking about. Luke is here now to tell us what else we'll find on civic media these days. Good morning, Luke.
I was going to say, how am I getting cast as the villain here now? What the heck's going on?
Because Kirk's not here. I have nobody else to rest on. It's the luck of the draw, buddy.
Okay.
Just luck of the draw.
Also, you've got a giant sign behind you that says Devils. So like the
That's
visual
true.
Here
he's,
is
He's at the Devil's
dark.
Advocates show there. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm in Crudy's seat. This is where he likes to sit for his show, which will
Right, with his little cape and his black helmet, at the Death Star.
The
there.
Breathing so, device sure. and everything. Yeah. But on the Devil's Advocates this afternoon will be Charles Franklin of the Marquette University Law School poll dissecting some of the polling that they are going to be dropping.
It's coming out in just 2 hours.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So going to be fresh off the presses polling, and Charles Franklin will be, there you go, Aaron. Charles Franklin will be joining Crudy and Dom on the Devil's Advocates to discuss that polling that will be dropping this afternoon. But before then, Kristen Bry has a holy mackerel of a Wednesday lined up of guests. So she's going to be joined by Charlie Burns, comedian of the Manitowoc Minute.
Charlie Burns.
Burns? Okay. Burns? Okay, my bad.
Burns. Yeah. You know, pronunciation, I heard, is key to people's names.
On the radio.
On the radio. So somebody was chastising me yesterday for that, if I remember correctly.
Only because you chastised me on Monday.
It's the circle of life. What can I tell you? It's the circle of criticism.
It's not really a circle. I think it's just ping pong at this point, Pat. Like, we're just going back and forth.
Oh, it's either a case of we kid because we care or we kid because we're a mean bunch of SOBs. Which either way, it works.
It could be both. Yeah, it could be both. Who knows?
So Charlie Behrens will be on, you say?
Charlie Behrens will be on and Ben Wickler. The chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin will also be joining Kristen Bry on As Goes Wisconsin, as well as Corey Hess, reporter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So she's got a jam-packed show. She's also joined on Wednesdays by her co-host, Greg Bach, a comedian from the Milwaukee area. And so it's going to be an excellent show for As Goes Wisconsin. You're going to stay tuned from 11 to 2 across the Civic Media Network. And this afternoon, Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign is going to join Brian and I on Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian to discuss and preview the January 6th House Select Committee's series finale that's taking place tomorrow at noon that you can listen to across Civic Media as well. So it's a real full day here on Civic Media. Brian will also be producing the Devil's Advocates this afternoon. So along with Charles Franklin, you can listen to Dom, Crute, and Brian. It's a very busy day around here.
It sounds like it. When you mentioned Corey Hess, I realized I had to go back and read a tweet of hers from this morning, and I realized she was promoting somebody else's editorial, because it just says under her name, "I'm a lifelong Republican, but sometimes party loyalty asks too much. I'm voting for Mandela Barnes and Tony Evers." And I thought, that's odd. And then I realized she was promoting an opinion column from James Widgerson. Or Wigderson, I'm not sure. But so you got to be careful. You got to read those tweets carefully before you go sharing them.
And you got to pronounce those last names carefully, too.
Well, I've always wondered about James, because I've been reading his stuff for, I feel like, a decade, and yet I've never heard his last name. It looks like it's spelled Wigderson, but you would think it was Widgerson. So my apologies. Now the onus is on me again. Now,
like I said,
now
ping pong and back and forth. Yeah.
All right, let's see if we can't get Kristen to mispronounce somebody's name and put this all on her instead. But first, Aaron is sharing a fun fact. What, you and Charlie Behrens work together?
Well, that's a strong way to put it. I used to do stage technician stuff for like local theater when I lived in Manitowoc, and I did sound for a Charlie Behrens live show, and he asked the crew if we wanted to all go out for a beer, but you know, I was 18, so couldn't exactly do that, but still, he seems like a pretty nice guy.
You're supposed to say, "I couldn't exactly do that." Wink. But
you just gotta find somebody in the group that looks like your parents, and then in Wisconsin, you know, that sometimes flies.
Not if you're 18, though. That's that donut hole. 18 to 21, once you're an adult, your parent can't vouch for you anymore. So you have to be younger than 18 if you want your parent.
Oh, there's a donut hole there.
Oh, yeah, I
thought the 18 to 21, it was up to the bar's discretion then. Because I definitely went to bars in Madison here when 19, and my parents were with me, and the bar owners were fine with it.
I don't
because
know.
It's Wisconsin.
Maybe we need to dig deeper into this Wisconsin donut hole law and find out at what point parents can't allow their underage children to drink anymore.
I don't know how much we want to be encouraging, you know, underage drinkers to look for loopholes. We should really be focused.
It's with adult supervision, though. It's with parental supervision.
Well, I think we should be focused on getting those 18, 19, 20-year-olds to vote.
Yes.
Rather than
Absolutely.
Drink.
Yes.
And again, we will talk to the head of the Wisconsin College Democrats on Thursday. We will talk to Governor Tony Evers tomorrow in our 8 o'clock hour. And Kristen, I did wish him hello from you when we taped the interview. That you've talked to him a few times, and I've heard you mention, you know, the importance of having that veto pen of his there for all the topics that you mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to see him tonight. We're doing a press conference here at Light Park in Green Bay, so that's going to be kind of great. But man, when you think about who you would like to see be your leader, when you talk to people around the state, they don't want politicians who have ulterior motives and who are scheming and doing all the ugly things that they think politicians do. They want somebody who's going to take care of them. They want somebody who is steady. They want somebody who is courageous. And that is Tony Evers. He has had more vetoes than any other governor because he's working with a ridiculous legislature that doesn't want him to have any victories.
Well, and that's why all of those qualities come together. I may be getting ahead of myself, but I'm getting behind Luke Mathers for 2024. Because again, he embodies all of these qualities.
Luke, stop it.
Luke.
No, I'm not even sure what he's going to run for yet, but we'll recruit him for something.
And if I were to do that, who would promote all of the excellent programming that we're doing here on the Civic Media Network?
I don't know if you know this. Aaron. That would still be part of your job duties. It would. Yeah. Absolutely.
Just throw it on top.
Yeah. Just got to start your day with something, and that's the way we want you to do it. So again, civicmedia.us, Civic Media app, if you want to learn more about all these fine shows.
You definitely radio ads.
As if this wasn't enough fiddle-dee-dee and fol-de-rol for 1 hour, Kirk Bangstad joins us in our next hour along with a former U.S. attorney. All after this break, you're up north.